Today I would like you to turn with me to John 17 and verses 7 and 8. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. The most important event in the history of the world was the coming of Christ. All history is dated from that point. We have before Christ, BC, and then we have after Christ, AD. Where did Christ come from? Why did he come? Why was he so special? What did he say? Well, he came from God. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Father gave him glory, gave him a testimony, bore witness to him that he was his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Bore witness to him that he was the Savior of the world. Hear ye him. He was given words by the Father because his role was to be a prophet. He was to be the mediator, the prophet, the priest, and the king. And the prophetic role of Christ was very important. As Thomas Goodwin said, God had one son and he made him a preacher. Preaching is important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Christ preached. No man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son reveals him. The disciples heard, believed, and were saved. You too have heard the gospel preached through the followers of Jesus. Have you received the message? Do you trust in the one that is proclaimed? Well, first we see here what the Father gave to Christ. Verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So what did the Father give to Christ? He gave him a special birth, first of all. The Holy Spirit came upon a young virgin, Mary, and she conceived. The Spirit performed a miracle so that the egg was fertilized in her womb. And this virgin carried the fetus, the child, Jesus, for 9 months. And then he was born. And at his birth, angels appeared. They appeared to the shepherds and told them, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And you remember how the angels gathered in the skies, praising and glorifying God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And you remember too how wise men came from the east, guided by a star. They came to Bethlehem and they worshipped the child, Jesus. So a special birth was given to him. And he was given also a sinless human nature. All of us are born sinners, the children of Adam, born in sin and conceived in iniquity. We have a sinful nature. Sin is easy. It's natural. We're sinners even before we were born because we sinned in Adam and fell with him in his first transgression. But Christ was protected from original sin because of his special birth, his virgin birth. And also, Christ did not have that sinful nature that we have. He was given a sinless human nature, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was given also special knowledge. even at the age of 12, he could argue with the rabbis in the temple, and he could ask them difficult questions. He showed a great understanding. He had an aptitude. He had to learn, and he had to grow in favor with God and with man, and he certainly did. He had a special interest, of course, in the things concerning the Bible and God, and he learned and quickly received these things and understood them. He had a special knowledge. Then you remember at his baptism how the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove. A voice was heard from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." John bear testimony concerning him. "He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Behold," he said, "the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And then Jesus began his public ministry about the age of 30, began going round preaching and teaching, and he spoke with authority. Not as the scribes and the Pharisees, quoting this rabbi and that rabbi and saying they think this and they think that, but speaking with authority. Those of old time have said, "An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, turn the other cheek." You have heard from them of old time, "Thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you, if you hate somebody, you're a murderer. Similarly, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you're an adulterer." So Jesus comes preaching, declaring, speaking with authority the word of God. He's a great prophet, a great teacher. And he received these words and this authority from his Father. And then you remember the miracles he performed. Peter's wife's mother was sick of a fever. Jesus healed her. Blind Bartimaeus, crying by the wayside, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus had mercy on him, and he received his sight. The 10 lepers, they were cleansed. You remember how the lame man by the pool of Bethesda could get up and walk. Jesus' miracles, healing the sick by the power of God. You remember how he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed the 5,000. On another occasion, he stilled the storm, rebuking the wind and the waves. Who is this that can command the wind and the waves? Only one who receives this power from heaven. He cast out devils, again by the power of God. He raised Lazarus from the dead. His miracles, they bore testimony to him. And you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, how Peter, James, and John saw the veil that clothed his divinity, as it were, raised a little bit. They saw something of his glory as he was transfigured before them. And you remember too how he was enabled to offer himself through the eternal Spirit to God, strengthened to fulfill all that was required in making atonement for sinners. And then on the third day, the Father raised him from the dead. So we see there what the Father gave to Jesus. "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee." All these things pointed to heaven, pointed to God, the God who was working in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Then in the second place, the disciples recognize that God gave him these things. Verse 8, For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. The Father bears witness to the Son. The Spirit is poured out upon him. He was given the Spirit without measure, and the Spirit also bears witness to the Son. You remember how the Pharisees said it was by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, that he was able to cast out devils. But how foolish that is. Would Satan cast out Satan? Of course he wouldn't. That would be civil war in his kingdom. And it was very wicked of the Pharisees to say such things. Indeed, it was the sin against the Holy Ghost, blasphemy against the Spirit, because it was so evident that the Spirit of God rested upon Christ and was working through Christ and performing these miracles, and yet they refuse the clear testimony of the Spirit. They are rejecting the Holy Spirit of God. And in that sense, it is the sin against the Holy Spirit for which there is no forgiveness. The disciples, though, they recognized the origin of Christ's power. They saw clearly that he came from God and was on his way back to God. They could see his divine origin. Well, Judas couldn't. He was blind to these things. He hardened his heart. He was covetous. He loved the world. He could see money and he cared for money above everything else, but he couldn't see the Son of God, the blindness, the darkness, and the wickedness. But what about you? Do you recognize Jesus? Do you read the Holy Scriptures? Do you read the Gospels and there discover the Son of God speaking to you from the Word? Jesus is from God. Jesus is the Son of God. The disciples recognize that God gave him these things. But in the third place, I want you to notice the words which the Father gave to Christ. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So what were these words that Christ was given? Remember, Christ is the great prophet. He's called in John 1 and verse 1, the Word. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. He is the spokesman, as it were, for the Trinity. And he is the revealer of God. He's the great teacher. We know, said Nicodemus, that thou art a teacher sent from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, what was the message of Jesus? Remember how it's put in Matthew chapter 4. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In today's church, there's very little emphasis upon repentance, and there's little concern about sin. The message is always so positive. Believe and love and come and join in the chorus and sing and be happy. But the Bible's message, John the Baptist preparing for Jesus, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus appeared on the scene and he said the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're all sinners. We sin every day. The wages of sin is death. The sinner shall not go unpunished. God demands repentance. And Jesus taught repentance. Repent and believe the gospel, that thy sins may be blotted out. Jesus proclaimed a holy God and a just God. He spoke of God in his perfection. He said, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." We have to remember that all will be judged. Every one of us will have to stand before him to give our account. It's vital for us to make our peace with God. Remember what Jesus said concerning those on whom the Tower of Siloam fell. He said, "Do you think that these 18 on whom this Tower of Siloam fell were greater sinners than all others? No, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Similarly, those Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifice, were they greater sinners than all Galileans? No, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish, because sin will be punished. God is holy, God is just. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Thou shalt by no means get out of it until thou hast paid the very last farthing. The standards that God demands are very high. God is looking for perfection. And where can he find it? Only in his own Son. We must make our peace with God. So Jesus said. He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he proclaims this peace, this way of peace through himself. We must make our peace with God. Remember Lot's wife. Remember how she perished in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the people in the days of Noah, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And then the flood came and destroyed them. So we've got to remember that very soon we will either die or Christ will come again to judge us, and we must make our peace with God. Christ came into the world to save the world. He had to die. He had to lay down his life. The corn of wheat, except it die, it remains alone. But if it fall into the ground and die, then it brings forth much fruit. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This was Jesus' teaching. He said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." It's not enough to improve, it's not enough to reform your life a bit here and a bit there. You need a radical change. You need the heart of stone to be taken away and to be given a heart of flesh. You need to become a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The words which thou gavest me, Jesus proclaimed these. He had proclaimed in Old Testament times on Mount Sinai, he had proclaimed the Ten Commandments, because that was Jesus speaking there on the mountain. He is the Word of God. And now he says to you and me, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Show that you love me. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who keeps my commandments. Christ was looking for a fruitful life from us. You remember how he speaks about the vine and how the husbandman is looking for fruit. And if we are barren branches, we won't bear fruit and we won't be accepted. We'll be cut down and cast into the fire. Abide in me so that you might bear fruit. Be united to me, the vine, and then you will bring forth much fruit. A fruitful life comes through our union with Christ. So Christ gave to us God's word. He proclaimed it to his disciples, and he proclaims it to us. Some received the message and were saved. Others rejected it and were lost. Some, they believed that thou didst send me. They believed that thou didst send me. Do you believe that Christ was sent by the Father? This is what is critical. To believe in Jesus, the messenger from God to us, the Savior of the world. And there's only the one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How vital it is for us then to have Christ. Christ as the way. Christ as the map concerning the way, the truth. And Christ as the life to enable us to walk in the way. Christ as the door into the kingdom. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the kingdom. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Are you then a believer? Are you one of those who receives the word of Christ and who receives the Christ of the word? Receive him, and receiving him, you have eternal life.